Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Racing Lanes with your hosts Rico Muhammad and Chuck Snow.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Racing Lanes podcast. I'm your host, Rico Muhammad. I will be joined shortly by my co-host, Mr. Chuck Snow. Really quickly, we're going to try to run through this DAT Trend Lines report really quickly because tonight we are blessed to have special guests with us, and we don't want to take away too much time, and we want for you guys to be able to get an opportunity to pick the brain of an industry expert as well. So if you give us just a few minutes and press number one if you got a question on your mind and you know what you want to talk about, go ahead and press number one. That puts you in the queue, and we'll get you right up on board with us. But starting out tonight, looking at the changes for the previous week, diesel fuel prices are down by 1.2 percentage points, showing a national average price for diesel fuel at $2.48 per gallon. So that continues its trend on a downward trajectory. Trucking companies are still reeling from drastic declines in rates as large swaths of the economy remain closed in response to COVID-19. That's hurt the demand for trucking shipments, and pricing continues to fall on most major lanes. One small silver lining is that the produce season has led to small upticks in load-to-truck ratios, which softened the blow in a handful of markets last week. So we're going to take really quickly and look at the spot market by each segment type really quickly across the country, starting out with dry vans, beginning up in the northeastern portion of the United States. We're showing an outbound average on the spot market for dry vans at $1.52. Moving down into the mid-Atlantic and southeastern states, we're showing outbound spot market rates averaging at $1.68. Coming out of the Midwest, we're showing outbound average for dry vans at $1.91. Moving down to the south central portion of the United States, we're showing outbound averages at $1.65. And coming out of the West Coast, we're showing outbound averages for dry vans at $1.57. Jumping over into the flatbed segment of the report, coming out of the northeastern portion of the United States, we're showing an outbound spot market rate at $1.88. Moving down into the southeastern and mid-Atlantic states, we're showing outbound spot market rates at $2.08. Coming out of the Midwest, we're showing outbound spot market rates at $2.12. And coming out of the south central portion of the United States, outbound spot market rates for flatbeds at $1.96. And wrapping up, coming out of the west, outbound spot market rate at $1.76. Jumping over really quickly over to the temperature controlled or reefer portion of the report, coming out of the northeastern portion of the United States, showing outbound average spot market rates at $1.77. Coming out of the southeast and mid-Atlantic states, we're showing outbound spot market rates at $1.84. Moving out of the Midwest, outbound spot market rates are showing at $2.26. Outbound spot market rates coming out of the south central region of the United States at $1.99. And coming out of the West Coast, showing an average spot market rate at $1.92. And with that being said, let me welcome my co-host, Mr. Chuck Snow. Chuck, good evening. How are you?
We're doing well. How are you, Rico?
Really excited. Really excited. Don't want to waste a lot of time. Want to go ahead and get our special guest, Mr. Noel Perry, world-famous economist for the trucking and logistic industry. Want to welcome Noel with us. Noel, good evening. How are you?
I'm fine, and thank you for having me, and hello to everybody out there who's working hard. Be safe today, please.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Chuck, I'm gonna give you the pleasure of jumping in first and taking a bite. We got a couple of callers that want to get in on board, and while you're doing it, I'm gonna get our callers up.
Okay. Well, Noel, thank you for joining us. We've I think the trucking and logistics industries right now are full of uncertainties. We have a lot of companies that we work with at Traffics, and I'm on very good terms and first name basis with hundreds of owners, and I get calls all the time because I've been at this so long. What do you think is going to happen, Chuck? What do you think? And you know what? For the first time in my whole life, there's no playbook for this. So I'd love you to shed some light on where do you think we're heading? What, like, in the immediate future and long-term future, we need a guiding light right now in the logistics and trucking industries, as well as other industries as well. Please shed some light.
All right. Well, let me launch in. First off, just one piece of good news. People, we still have 330 million people in the United States, and they all got to eat. And so even though we're not going to restaurants, we still have to eat the same amount of food every day. And so what that means is that this shock that we're having to our economy and to trucking will affect the reefer market the least, because the reefer market, most of what the reefer market moves is food, and we got to eat. Same thing, of course, is true with pharmaceuticals. Actually, pharmaceutical demand is up. So if you're in the reefer market, you're in pretty good shape. Now, you're not as good as you were in 2018, but compared to the rest of the business, it's great. Now, the second thing, let's divide this into two pieces. The second thing is that, if you're reading the newspaper or watching TV or listening to shows like this, the most important thing is to understand when the restrictions on economic activity are going to stop. Now, the politicians are finally getting the idea that maybe they have to open things up, even if the health numbers are not what they want, because just to put it simply, the harm that we've done to people in this economy, in this country, by the restrictions is way worse than any harm that the virus can make for us. Not that the virus is a good thing, but so the question is, when is the governor of Pennsylvania, for instance, when is he going to start lightening up? Now, he has begun to. And the same thing goes for all the other states. So the first thing we want to look at is, when will the politicians let up? And given the fact that the numbers are getting better where we are, let me pull up spreadsheets so I can give you the exact numbers. I was just looking at it. We're down yesterday we were down more than half on the number of deaths per day from the worst day we had.
That's
now,
fantastic.
Tuesdays are always bad days for numbers, because people tend to catch up on all of their calculations in the middle of the week. And so we're going to be up today to about 1,900 or 2,000 deaths. However, I can tell you that the max number of deaths that we had was 2,800 a week ago. And we're not going to get anywhere near that today. So we're going in the right direction. And if you look at the number of cases today is going to be somewhere around 21, 22,000. And the max we've had was 2 weeks ago at 38,000. So we're heading in the right direction, and we know that's going to probably continue, because the Europeans and some of the people in Asia who've had this longer than we have are definitely headed downwards. So we've learned two things about this contagion. One of them is it's not as bad as we thought. It's a bad one. It's the worst of our lifetime, at least as bad as there was one in the 50s. I've forgotten the name of it. H2N2 was one of them, but it's the worst one we've had in quite a while.
Well, it's the Spanish flu, isn't it?
No, the Spanish flu was 1918.
Right,
and that was a whole different situation. Now, this one's going to be something like that, but Now, the world was very different in 2018.
Right.
So using it to compare is questionable. But this is the worst one in our lifetime, unless you're 101.
Not there yet.
Yeah, me neither. And it's taking longer to fix up than we thought. However, it is headed downwards, and we're going to be way below the worst-case scenarios that a lot of the medical people were talking about a month ago or even 2 weeks ago. They were talking about 2 million deaths in the United States.
Right.
And we're, yeah, oh, yeah, and or 200,000, 300,000, 400,000, 500,000. And we're going to end up someplace, it looks like, we're about 105,000. And, of course, figuring out whether somebody died from this virus compared to something else is a hard thing. Almost all the people who have died, not all, but almost all, are older and already have a pre-existing condition. And so it's one of those things that, you know, you're either working or you're retired and you're hanging on, and you're always worried about getting that bad flu because your lungs just can't handle it. And, well, this is what's happened to, so far, about almost 60,000 people. They were hanging on and doing okay, but still hanging on, and they had the bad luck to be the one out of 1,000 people who gets a bad case of this and dies. So the good news is it's slowly going away. The bad news is the governors, for the most part, haven't gotten up the courage to take away the restrictions. They're starting to, but not yet. And so we'll probably have restrictions on us in some way through the month of May. Now, so that's the COVID thing. And who knows about how we'll approach these things in the future. I hope we'll do some research between now and the next time one of these hits so we'll know better about what to do. But let's talk about the economy. And you all know how much of the spigot that the feds, not the feds, the states have turned off, particularly in the service sector, but also in there's a lot of manufacturing that's shut down, either because they can't get workers or because the demand is down. For instance, all the guys that make trucks have stopped. Now, they know that the trucking business is going to be slow and that no one's going to order any trucks for the next year. But, you know, that whole business is shut down. Boeing is shut down, et cetera, et cetera. The auto companies have slowed down quite a bit. However, the big deals is all the retail people and all the service people. Now, I've done an analysis of it, and best I can tell, and my numbers are consistent with a lot of other people's, the economy in the second quarter will be somewhere around 30% below where it was in the first quarter. And we have never had a quarterly change in economic fortunes in this country that bad. Never, not even close. For instance, the I went back and looked at 08 or 09, and it was down somewhere around maybe 10% one time, but nothing like this. No, not 10%. It was down more like 3% or 4% in a quarter.
Wow.
We're talking 10 times that. Well, you tell people they can't go to work, the economy slows down. Now, we're hoping that Americans, as clever as we are, will find a way to work around it. And sometime in the next day or two, we're going to get the first quarter numbers. And, of course, the first quarter included March, and that'll give us some indication as to how bad this is. Right now we're all guessing, but the second quarter is going to be terrible. Fortunately for us in trucking, the worst places this affects is services. You know, there's no baseball. I haven't had a haircut since December. You should see me. My hair's longer than it was when I was a hippie back in the 60s. Actually, I wasn't a hippie in the late 60s. I was in the military. My hair was short, but I wanted it to be long. Well, now it is. But, you know, I live 15 miles from Hershey Park. When's that going to open?
Yeah.
Et cetera, you know, and, Kohl's and Penny's And all the restaurants around here, the ones that are sit down, are all closed. And, you know, the doctors, most doctors are operating at a fraction of their normal capacity because they're, I quote, not doing anything that's not essential.
Right.
And also
dentists
people are scared
well.
To go to doctors. Yes. Yeah. Well, exactly. The dentists have to be closed. You know,
yeah.
My massage therapist snuck in today to fix my back. She's supposed to be closed, but she had she took pity on me. Here's the point for trucking. It's going to affect us less than it'll affect the whole economy because the whole economy is so service dependent. And while we serve the service industries, we don't move as near as much for them as we move for the heavy industry, for farming and for retail. So, but still, it's going to be quite bad for us. I figure we're going to be down somewhere second quarter over the first quarter, somewhere around 30%, something like that. Fewer loads.
Wow.
Now, I could be wrong, and remember, who was it? One of those defense secretaries said, we need to know what we don't know, and we need to...
Right.
And what we don't know exactly is, we've never had this before.
No.
All we know
no.
is it's going to be way worse than anything that we've experienced since, well, that the country's experienced since our parents had to go through World War II. Now, it probably won't be as sustained as the Great Depression beforehand, but there was never a quarter like the second quarter during the Great Depression. Never, nothing close. So it's going to be nasty. Let's hope you're in the reefer business because the other ones are going to be quite slow. Now, if you're dealing with the farms, okay, that's not so bad. But if you're dealing with all the rest of the business, you know, construction in Pennsylvania has been shut down since the middle of March. Now, they're
right.
talking about opening it up next week. They might, but that's not definite. So that's the bad news. And what does that mean for us? I said it could mean up to 30% in that first quarter. Now, and price-wise, the good news is bad news. You all know out there that we already had low prices in the spot
yeah.
market particularly. Not as much in contracts, but in spot, you know, we came down off of that wonderful year and a half we had, 17-18. But, you know, prices fell by a whole bunch. And so if we had started at a great year and fell into this, prices would drop by 40, 50%. Well, I'm figuring maybe another 10% from where we are today on the spot side. Contract maybe a little bit more, which is very unusual because the contract prices when we started this thing in February were still pretty good because contract prices change more slowly.
Right.
So the
B&Gs
of the world,
you know,
yeah. You guys that are working.
Some of the contract people don't want to pay. They're looking
for. Well, they never do.
They want to transfer on to spot pricing because they can save so much money.
Well, when the market is at the bottom, spot prices are in the same ballpark as contract. But, however, these guys are shopping their contract rates like crazy. That's what they always
oh, yeah.
do at the bottom. And, you know, so if you're permanently leased to somebody who's and you're hauling contract freight, it's going to be a tough time in the second quarter. Now, the good news and the real uncertainty here is that sometime in at least by the end of this month, next month, May, and certainly into June, most of the economy is going to be allowed to work again.
Right.
The question is how traumatized are people going to be? Now, some stuff that you've been putting off, like, you know, I'm going to get a haircut the first day my barber's back in business. And, you know, and there's a lot of us that have been waiting to do stuff. But and the question is, for instance, are you going to go to how long is it going to be before I go see the Phillies play this year?
Right.
Even if they're allowed to start on, let's say, July 1st, you know, I mean, I'll go, but a lot of people say, I'm not going to sit in some crowd and get the bug.
Yeah.
And, you know, or if, you know, my my massage therapist who has been shut down for 6 months, I mean, for 6 weeks with no income, she's going to say, well, damn it, the governor could do that to me again. I better save some money so I don't get caught out if this happens again. You know, what if it happens again next year? So she's going to save, and she might not buy that new pickup this year. She might, you know, last year, well, in February, she went down to the islands for a cruise. Maybe next year she's not going to do that. She's going to put that money away, and maybe the whole economy is going to put that money away for a year or two. So I think that we're going to go into a recession, but this is a recession like none other we've ever had, because the first thing that's going to happen is all this stuff that we had to stop doing, but we have to start doing again, is going to get done. So the economy is going to look pretty good in terms of growth rates in July and August, because we're going to be catching up. Now, we might not get back to the levels we had, and as you know, as I look at freight, I don't think we're going to get back to the same levels of freight we had last year until like 2023. But we will have a very strong second half.
Here's a question for you, Noel. Yes. Now I'm sitting here as we're doing the podcast, and I was watching before we came on. I was watching one of my favorite shows, Mad Money with Jim Cramer. And big blurb just came across the screen right now, and this is something that I had on my mind that I wanted to ask you about tonight anyway. With this whole thing with the infections taking place in a lot, because you kind of alluded to reefers was going to be maybe not as affected as some other segments, which I agree upon, because we definitely still have to eat. But with these meat packing plants across the nation that being shut down in certain areas with the virus and everything taking place, what are you anticipating as far as that situation is concerned?
All right. Well, I have two comments about that. I'm skeptical. I mean, clearly, if you have 100 meat packing plants, several of them are going to be affected. But there's a couple of things we need to remember. First off, if you look at the rate of infection, the rate of serious infection amongst people who work, it's rather low. It's very low, as a matter of fact. For instance, do either of you know anybody who has COVID, who has the virus?
Yes, I do.
I don't.
Yeah, I've actually lost a good friend to it.
Oh, well, okay, then. But see, you're in the minority. Most of us don't know anybody who's had it yet. Because we're talking about, and let me give you the number here. We're talking about, there are, in the United States so far, there is 3,000 cases per million. And that means that the population per case in the United States is 328. That's how many people... 327 don't have it against one who does, and that person is most likely not to show any symptoms. So the chance of us, of a plant having enough workers get sick to close down is rather small, unless the workers panic. That may be possible. Right. But the other thing to keep in mind is, which plants are the, and you guys tell me, which plants are the media going to cover? The ones that are working fine or the ones that have a story?
They want a story.
Of course they are. They're going to try to make that story as dramatic as possible. Well, you know, and I'll give you another example. You can buy toilet paper again, can't you?
Yes.
The shelves aren't full yet, but you can wipe your butt now, despite the fact that the newspapers had these headlines a month ago.
Right.
You know, where's the Sears catalog when we need it? So, you know, I'm a lot more worried about the demand side of the equation than I am the supply side. And people eat meat. Now, they might not as eat what they might, you know, the people who are need to be worried are the truckers that are serving the restaurants, because the fancy places that charge $35 for that steak, you know, they're going to come back a lot more slowly than, you know, my wife and I are eating well. We're just eating at home.
Right.
And, you know, I'm sure the rest of you the same way. So I'm not worried about that per se. I'm a lot more worried about when the government is going to wake up and get out of our way. And, you know, I mean, all the guys that drive understand that. And, you know, now it's hit us in spades. You know, so now there's one other thing that there's a big surprise or a huge unknown here. And it'll take me a minute to explain it. I'll give you some facts. If indeed my economic forecast is anywhere near accurate, we get a 30% reduction in demand. That's the biggest reduction in demand we've ever had for trucking in one quarter. And, you know, the fleets are going to try to downsize something awful. You know, they're going to have to.
Well,
you know, if you're an owner-operator and you got four trucks, you're going to lay somebody off.
Yeah.
Well, here's
another thing.
Go ahead.
If I can interrupt you just real quickly,
that befuddles
my mind. And I'm sure that a lot of my fellow drivers out there can echo my sentiments, is that for years and years and years, they keep telling us that we have this quote unquote driver shortage. And for the life of me, one of the things that I really never understood about this, the so-called driver shortage, if there was so much, if we were told and explained to us that basic economics is supply and demand, and if there's not enough of a supply to meet the demand, then the price should increase. Well, if there's not enough drivers to go around, then why in the hell are the rates so much still?
Rico, you make a great point.
I don't have a college degree, but I'm just.
Well, I can. You know, well, you're right, and I was about to launch into that because that's what I wanted to talk about for the, you know, over the next two quarters. If there was, first off, with respect to the driver shortage, and let's go back to 2018, when everybody was screaming about driver shortages,
right,
and the prices were going up. If there really was a driver shortage, all the freight wouldn't have moved, would it? If you don't have enough drivers,
absolutely,
some of the freight gets left on the dock, right?
Right, absolutely.
There's no other way around it. So, you know, so what we learned is really what we had was a time when it was hard to find drivers, but they still managed to find them. And the reason they don't find them is real simple. Every year, the demand for trucking goes up by more than the supply of labor does in this country. And so every year, the fleets or the owner-operators, whoever's hiring drivers and the private guys, have to hunt a little farther to find a guy who's foolish enough to want to sleep in a truck. Because that's what, of course, everyone does.
Yep.
And so it's hard to find drivers. You can do it, but it's hard work. Well, when there's a downturn, you lay your drivers off. When there's an upturn and you need more drivers, nobody hires them ahead of time. They don't want to create a shortage. They want to let those rates go up before they're going to spend a lot more money on ads or make the phone calls or whatever to find somebody or buy a truck. And so what happens is when the economy is expanding, there's a driver shortage because they can't hire fast enough. Because nobody builds their recruiting apparatus for Easter. They build it for the second Sunday in Lent, the regular
right.
Sunday, right?
Yeah.
And so when we had a situation like in 17 and 18, we just couldn't hire fast enough and we got behind. Now, in this quarter, we're going to try to shed people, and we're not going to shed people fast enough. It takes time to run that apparatus. And plus, everybody wants to be good to their drivers because they're so valuable. And so they're going to hold off making those layoffs. Well, sometime in the third quarter, they're finally going to be done with that process. And they said, well, you know, I wanted to go from 110 trucks to 70. Well, I've got 78 now. That's far enough. Well, I just told you that in June and July and August, the economy is going to come back. Not to where it was before, but enough that we're going to need more drivers. So at exactly the time the fleets are likely to be chopping drivers, finishing the chop time, they should have been hiring. And so there's a good chance that this incredible surplus that we're going to have the next month and a half or two, it's going to keep everybody scrambling, is going to turn into a shortage sometime in the late summer or the early fall. And this has never happened before for a real simple reason. I wish I could show you a picture, but this recession, if you want to call it this, it looks like a steep V. It goes down real hard and comes back real hard because we didn't go into recession because people stopped buying. We got into recession because the government said we can't buy. When the government says we can buy, people are going to start buying again much quicker than normal. So, the economy is going to come back fast. Usually in a recession, the economy slows down gradually, but for maybe three or four quarters, hits the bottom, and then it accelerates gradually. It's like driving a 1958 International Harvester compared to a Pete with a 360 16-liter.
Right.
So here's the point. We don't know. The good outcome would be that fleets are only halfway through cutting drivers when the economy comes back and they say, oh, I don't have to cut anymore. And they'll wake up quickly and they'll hold off and they'll use those drivers to sop up the new demand. In the past, they've never done it that way. People say, no, I've just got stung. I'm not going to do anything in terms of expansion until I know that I need drivers. But we don't know. So here's the point, and this is what I really urge all the people that are in this business. This is a time to be very alert because this is uncharted ground. You guys said it, and, I've been studying this this industry for 50 years, full time, and I am guessing. And if a Harvard trained economist is guessing about this industry, then the rest of you should be guessing too. But my point is, here's the solution. You listen to as many different opinions as you can get. You make a list of the two or three things you might have to do if the industry comes back, or the three or four things you might have to do if it stays bad. You put those little plans on your shelf, and you look real carefully to see what actually happens. And if you're ready and watching, the chances are you're going to see the answer a month or two or 3 months before anybody else. And so if the market comes back strong, you're going to get those best loads when everybody else is still saying, oh, shit, the market's terrible. Or if it's the opposite, you're the guy who has been blowing in the ear of your favorite shipper for the last 6 months, and you get to keep that volume rather than losing it to somebody else because you said, wait a minute, I better be careful because this thing could last for a lot longer than we think. And we just don't know. It scares the crap out of me.
Yeah, all of us. I have to tell you, talking to people in the industry, overall, I've never seen so much fear. And part of it is because I'm not dealing with the mega carriers that I'm talking to. It's the smaller carriers that have from, 5 to 30 trucks. And, the mega carriers have, they've got contract freight. It's the smaller ones that really they're concerned. They've got huge payments
on
these trucks.
Well, they're all concerned, by the way. They are. They're all concerned. You know, I've worked for the big guys. It's no different. And by the way, real hard at this industry, and it's true that there's a bunch of new entrants in this, among the small guys who are pretty precarious. But if you look at, on average, across the industry, the chance of a company being profitable is about the same with 100 or 50 truck fleet as it is for J.B. Hunt or Werner.
Right.
You know, good management, whether it's a big company or a small company, makes money. On the other hand, bad management loses money.
Right.
One way to think about this is think about the drivers that serve Denver in the spring and the fall, and compare them to the ones that serve Chattanooga at the same time. The guy who's driving in Denver and then across the Rockies to Salt Lake, he might get 75 one day and rain, and he might get a blizzard the next. That's the way
right.
the weather is in Denver. And so you have the chains on the rig, and you're prepared, and you know that you can't depend on making that 8-hour run in 8 hours every day. It might take you 24. The guy in Chattanooga, all he has to worry about is just to make he doesn't have the bad luck of being hit by a tornado in the spring. But otherwise, he's going to get through. And, you know, the whole industry right now is operating in Denver.
Right.
And the smart people, whether they be the guy running Schneider, my friend Mark Rourke, or the smallest owner-operator, have to understand that and behave differently than they would have a year or 2 years ago. But if you know that a bunch of different things can happen, and if you're ready to, you know, go left when the receiver goes left or go right to cover the receiver when he goes right, you're going to stay on the field.
Right.
Great
analogy.
Yeah, I used to do a lot of business in the barge business. And,
right.
you know, in the barge, you know, if you're running the Mississippi, you have to deal with high water, low water, ice, all kinds of stuff. And the guys used to moan to me all the time. Oh, my goodness, the river was low today. And I look at them and I'd say, what's the point of being in the wheelhouse if the water's calm? And, you know, it's the same thing. You know, if this business was straight and level, it would already be automated, wouldn't it?
100%.
Why do we need us? Because things change. And there ain't no computer yet that knows how to deal with all those changes.
Very true.
Great point. So let me ask you this while we, you know, the majority of our listeners are smaller guys. One,
sure.
you know, small carriers, small people. And so with that being the case, what kind of advice would you maybe with everything that you kind of maybe actually be looking through your crystal ball a little bit, what kind of advice would you extend to people in that type of situation going forward?
Well, I'd say three things. First off, you need to be financially very conservative. You need to make sure you got enough that you have a nest egg, so if you miss a few loads, you can still make your truck payment, and you can still send money home to your wife. That's the first thing, because we're not going to, we could have financial troubles for as long as two more years. I think we'll have some good times at the end of this year for a while, but there's no guarantee. So that's the first thing.
I want to kind of interject just a little bit.
Go ahead.
So for people that are out there that are listening, and right now there are different trucking sales that are running different types of sales and everything similar to the car dealerships where they're offering 90 mm-hmm. days, 60 days, no payments. You're saying being financially conservative. If someone's on the fence and they're kind of thinking about maybe taking the plunge, taking the leap because of the incentive of the 30 to 60, 90 days, no payment, what would you?
All right, I'll give you two answers. It's a great question. In a normal recession, I would say buy that truck. You know, a year ago, I told everybody don't buy a truck. But if it was a normal recession, I'd say if you got the money, take the plunge, because after another 3 or 6 or 8 months, we're going to have a recovery, and you'll have a nice new cheap truck, and you'll have good demand. This one, we're not sure. And so I would answer the question in two ways. If you are a gambler, some people are. I'm not, but some people are. This is a great time to buy a truck. And the reason is because prices are depressed. And like I said, there's a 50% chance or better that in the second half of this year, the market's going to tighten up. Can't guarantee it, but there's a good chance. So if you're a gambler, do it. If you're conservative, don't do it. Wait until the end of the year or early next year till we know what's happening, you know, until we know how the market's coming out of this this problem. Because, again, we don't know. There's a big upside, so if you're a gambler, go for it. If you're not, and I'm not, I'd be careful. I would wait 6 months. There's going to be plenty of deals out there 6 months from now.
Oh, yeah.
So let me –
All right. No. Yes, sir.
All right, go ahead.
I'll let you see you on. No, I'll let you go.
All right, well,
I'm going to kind of jump in a little bit on that one.
Go ahead, please do.
No. I already did that.
Okay,
I was
done?
Just saying that I just wanted to, yeah, I just wanted to try to maybe
okay.
throw bounce that one off of.
Okay, fine. Okay. The second thing that I would be real careful to do right now is to be shipper focused. Now's the time to be sucking up to your customers, because relationships count in this business. And if they know you're on time and you treat them well and you're courteous when you're dealing with them and you're reliable, then 6 months from now when that contract comes up and they're looking for something, you'll win the ties. You know, 2 years ago you could be arrogant and tough. This is the time when they have the hammer. So that's the second thing. And the third thing is this is a great time to go long. And what I mean by is if you're thinking – this is a good time to take a permanent lease, because those fleets, if they get short of loads, they're going to fill their own trucks and their permanent lease trucks before they go out on the spot market. So this – you know, knowing you're going to have loads over the next year is a very, very good thing. So I would, you know, when the market's down like this or headed down and you're not sure, going long with guaranteed volume is a good thing. So that's
so,
my advice to a small guy.
Good sound advice.
One thing I want to circle back around on, and one thing that we definitely harp on is definitely the relationship aspect of it. We're trying one thing I'm going to get on my soapbox for just a quick second.
Go right ahead.
Everyone, you know, it's been a lot of over the past month or so, there's been a lot of people that have been moaning, groaning, complaining, and I've heard it as far as everyone is complaining about the rates being in the toilet, the brokers are just feeding us, the brokers are killing the small carriers. The biggest negotiating tactic we have as small carriers is our right of refusal. And I understand that things are tough and things you got to do things, but the number one thing is if you have done the hard work and developed relationships, whether that be with directly with the shipper or whether that be with brokers that have good contracts, then you could put yourself, you wouldn't be feeling near as much pain as other people are that have been spot market mavericks that just run strictly transactional situations solely on the spot market, running from market to market, just trying to take a dollar, and you don't have any relationships built up. And that's why
I agree with you 100%, Rico.
And that is exactly why a lot of people are experiencing the pains that they're experiencing, because they don't have they don't have any loyalty or any kind of currency relationship wise built up with anyone. And so now, why is a broker going to look out for you and give you a fair rate if he don't even know you from a can of paint?
I agree.
He has no loyalty to you. You know, he has no affinity or loyalty to you, because okay, now you're coming to him begging for scraps, you know, basically off of the table. Well, you know, that broker probably has, you know, if he's got decent freight worth anything, he's got people that hopefully take care of that have cultivated those relationships. And that's one thing, you know, it sounds harsh right now, and ladies and gentlemen, I understand. I feel the pain that a lot of I hear. I'm very empathetic with hearing what people are going through. But at the same time, if you decide to get in business, understand business is dog eat dog, and you have to be willing to do whatever you got to do to sustain your business. And a lot of us, for lack of a better term, we bought ourselves a job versus being in business, and we're not true entrepreneurs because we're not doing the hard work to go out and develop and cultivate relationships. Okay, I'm off my soapbox.
Rico, I just want to remind our listeners out there that play the spot market and they go all over the place, very seldom does a good load hit a load board. What happens is every single broker, including our people, we all know that Joey serves Chicago to Cleveland. And we phone Joey because we know Joey does a good job for us every day. And Harold does a great job from Cleveland to Chicago. And we phone Harold. And we have our go-to. The only time we use load boards is for the one-offs or if Joey or Harold can't do it. Then you may get a chance. But you're never going to get your chances of being successful running that spot market and going all over the continent of North America. You're chasing your tail. It doesn't work. It worked 40 years ago, but those days are over.
I don't know why you guys have me on the show. You've got the answer.
Because they don't listen to us the way they listen to you.
Well, you know, and I need to make a qualification here. I happen to be the chief economist for the Transportation Intermediaries Association, the Brokers Trade Association. So I have an interest in telling everybody how wonderful the people that pay me are. But I know all these guys, and they're people just like you and I. And I can guarantee you that the brokers are not getting rich off of the truckers.
No.
The brokers take less of the pie in the total price than does the overhead in a contract. You know, Schneider makes more, charges their customers more for overhead than a broker does. So the brokers are not the problem. They're part of the solution. And I'd like to add one thing, and it really jives in with what both of you said. And I particularly like that point about the fact that people don't put the good loads on the load boards. Right now, there's a lot of people that are developing electronic freight matching.
Right. Yeah.
My advice to all of us is we're going to have to learn how to use those tools, because what they're doing is taking some of the cost out of the situation, because you don't have to have people making all these phone calls. However, The problem right now is the software is not near smart enough to know that George is really dependable going into Philly and Gertrude loves to go to Atlanta. They don't know the difference between one truck and another. And whereas a good broker knows that stuff, that's, you know, for instance, I have a close friend who runs a big brokerage in South Jersey, and his customers pay him to get dependable supply. They don't know how to go out and find the owner operators and the small carriers who are dependable. They pay him to do that. And, you know, that's why he has a BMW, I think, because he understands how to find the good guys and the good girls. Whereas if you're, I'll put it differently. This would be a terrible time to be alone, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I've been living in the same house with the same woman for 51 years, and boy, oh boy, am I blessed.
Yes.
I can go to bed knowing I have somebody next to me that I love. And, you know, it ain't no different in trucking or in economics or anywhere. You know, we're defined by the people we work with. So, yeah, I agree with you guys.
So I'm looking at the time. And I want to give us a chance to maybe do some wrap-ups before our time runs out. But I just want to drop this on our listeners that are out there listening right now. You know, I'm not going to jump back on my soapbox, but I'm just going to reiterate a couple of little key points that I think that is a great opportunity to take advantage of right now. If you're not on, maybe instead of spending so much time complaining, and worrying about those things. Look, I understand the worry. That's going to be there. Let's take time to refocus on what it is that you want out of this industry. Now's the time to get on LinkedIn, maybe log off of Facebook, get on LinkedIn, start finding the people, the decision makers that it could. If you're tired of dealing with brokers, well, guess what? You don't have to deal with brokers. If you have your own authority, guess what? You have the ability to go out and contract yourself, and then you have no. If you want somebody to blame, you want somebody to cuss out, go in the bathroom, look at that person in the mirror, and give him all the business you want to give him. I mean, just lay it on thick as you want to lay it on. Because at the end of the day, whether you're dealing with a broker or whether you're going directly to a shipper yourself, at the end of the day, that's the only person that you got to blame. And that's the only person that you can depend on right now. You have to make
changes
in order to make your business better. Yes, sir. No.
There used to be a cartoon character called Pogo. I don't know whether you guys are old enough to remember Pogo, but his most famous quote was, "We have met the enemy, and he is us."
So true.
I've heard that quote, but I didn't know it came from a cartoon.
That's where it comes from. Yeah, Pogo.
So, look, we got a little bit of time left. I want to make sure that we give our guest, Mr. Noel Perry, an opportunity in closing out. Any closing remarks that you would like to make? Maybe if you would like to give out of your social media or anything like that, how people can get in contact with you, you're more than welcome to do that. And I forgot, and I forgot to reiterate while we were going at it, but if anybody wants to get in and ask a question, press 1 really quickly, and we'll try to squeeze you in.
Well, while you're doing that, I got my own website, and if you type in Noel Perry, N-O-E-L-P-E-R-Y, you'll find me easily enough. And I'm also a partner with a guy by the name of Broughton. Capital has a lot of my stuff, and I also work with Truck Stop and with TIA, so you'll find me around. And if you want to talk, go to my website, get my phone number, call me. I love to talk about this business with anybody, particularly the people that do it. And one final point, the most important thing is to be safe.
100%. Absolutely. Well, Noah, we definitely appreciate you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on and join us and talk shop with us for a little bit. We definitely gleaned a lot from your expertise and definitely some sage advice, especially when it comes to the economic portion of making sure that you know, maybe you want to be a little more conservative versus being a lot more
yep.
Bullish at this point. Maybe you want to be a bear right now.
Chuck, before I sign off, I just want to give people, before you go, Chuck,
I want to just tell everybody we just talked about developing relationships. And if you don't know where to start or whatever, if you tune into this show, you got Chuck Snow here, who's the owner of Trafix, has a brokerage arm. Give him or his staff a call. Let them know what it is you want to do. Make them your sales team. If you're too afraid to do that, to go out there and knock on those doors yourself, or you're not sure you're up to speed or whatever at this point in time, there's one resource right there that's a warm call for you. You can say, hey, I know one of the owners of the company. Let me give those people a call and use that resource. Don't be afraid to name drop sometimes. You'd be surprised what kind of doors they may or may not open up for you, but I believe if you call this company, it may make some ears perk up. All right, Chuck, I'm going to turn it back
exactly.
over.
And, Rico, you know what? I have close to 300 people that work for us inside. And out of the 300, there's probably three of us that know how to drive a truck. The other 297 or so don't know how to drive a truck, but they can sell freight and they can broker freight. Everybody has their expertise. You may be the best truck driver in the entire world, but you can't sell freight. We all have our expertise. Selling freight isn't an easy game. Driving a truck is not an easy game. They're two separate professions as far as I'm concerned. And if any of our listeners want to get in touch with me, if you have a question about your business or you want to get set up with Trafix, you can reach me on my email. It's very simple. Chuck@trafix.com. You can call me at 800-388-4352. My extension is 203. Or you can reach me on Instagram. Very simple. Just Chuck Snow, CEO. And I'm going to leave you with one thought. If you are thinking about buying that newer truck, don't buy it unless the wheels are falling off your old one or the motor's just about to cave in and you got enough juice in that old engine just to get you home. Then you should consider it. Other than that, don't do it right now because we haven't hit bottom yet. I don't know where bottom is, but we're certainly not there yet. And with that, I'm going to leave you.
Sound sage advice once again. Well, thank you again, everybody. Want to thank Noel Perry again for joining us. Chuck, we definitely thank you. And most importantly, we want to thank you guys, the listeners, for taking time out of your schedule to download, listen to the podcast, listen to us live. We definitely appreciate you. Tell a friend to tell a friend about the podcast. We're constantly trying to grow and do bigger and better things. We got a special surprise for you guys next week. We're not quite ready to release that just yet, but we got a special surprise for you guys next week. So be on the lookout on the Instagram pages. We'll probably get an announcement out over there first, and then we'll roll it around to Facebook as well eventually. So in the meantime,
tell them who it is, Rico.
Come on. Go ahead. And you don't want me to tease them anymore? Okay.
Yeah,
so,
no.
Well,
go ahead. Tell them who it is.
All right. Well, here it is. Special surprise. Next week. We are so blessed to have inspirational speaker Dan Baker, trucking. If you know anything about the trucking industry, Dan Baker. So we want to try to give you guys a little bit of, show a little bit of the silver lining and maybe give you the inspiration to, keep it's dark times right now. We want to give you guys something to keep, maybe put a smile on your face and maybe give you a different perspective and some different things. Different ways to look at things, and Dan is an absolute expert at doing that. So hopefully next week you guys will join us. You'll catch us with our special guest next week, Mr. Dan Baker. So in the meantime, in between time, you guys stay safe out there, stay healthy, and most importantly, keep it in between the mustard and the mayonnaise. God bless you, and good night.
Catch you on the flip-flop.